I've served churches in several states. I've been blessed to preach, I think, somewhere in the neighborhood of 26 states. And so that's why it's always exciting to go somewhere I haven't been before.
Amen.
Now, I did preach in this area about 37 years ago when I first started preaching. I believe I went to some churches in the Milan area within a, you know, reasonable radius of that area. And that was a long time ago. So I hope the Lord will bless us in our efforts today. I'm currently a member of Zion Primitive Baptist Church, which is also in West Central Alabama. We had one member in 2011, and now we have 55. And the Lord has blessed us to build a new building. And so that's the first time I've personally been involved in a revival like that. And if you're ever in West Central Alabama, I hope you'll contact me. Our website is simply zionpbc.com. So we'd love for you to visit us. We meet each Sunday morning, Sunday night, and also first and third Wednesday nights. I want to read to you today from the book of Romans, chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, and beginning with verse 15. Paul says, "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not, and what I, or but what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing.
Amen.
For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members."
Yep.
"O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?"
Yes.
Now, when you read that expression at the beginning of verse 24, "O wretched man that I am," notice it ends with an exclamation point.
Yes.
In other words, this is the final conclusion of all of these thoughts that the Apostle Paul has shared. If you feel to be a wretched man, you are abundantly blessed.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
You know, you read this and it sounds like Paul has a split personality. And in actuality, he, along with every one of you, does have
right.
a split personality.
Amen.
Sometimes we hear about movies made about a person with multiple personalities. Well, the child of God has two distinct, very different personalities.
Amen.
If you want to think of it that way. You may say, "Well, Brother Buddy, how is it that if I can say and that I feel like the Apostle Paul did when he said, 'O wretched man that I am,' how is it that that can be equated to a blessed individual?"
Amen.
Well, I hope to show you before our time is up that if you feel that way, that is indisputable evidence that you are a born-again child of God.
Amen. That's right.
So the worse you feel, the more blessed you are. Think of it that way.
Amen.
The more you feel like you're a sinner, the more evidence you have that you are a child of God, and you have been born of His Spirit.
Amen.
Because if you have been born again, that means God loved you before the world began. That means that He predestinated you unto the adoption of children. That means Jesus died for your sins and saved you from the wrath to come. And that means that Jesus is coming back to get you and take you to heaven.
Amen.
And all that is evident because you feel like a wretch.
Right.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound,
yes, sir,
that saved a wretch like me. See, that's why I love the doctrine of the Old Baptist.
Yes, sir.
Because that's the only one that gets down as low as I am.
Amen.
Because I don't have the ability to save myself.
Right.
Now let's consider what it would be like if you weren't a child of God. If you weren't born of the Spirit. If that were the case, you would not feel to be a wretch.
Right.
Notice first of all in Romans chapter 3, this is a clear description of your personality, of your character, if you are not born of the Spirit. Romans chapter 3, and beginning with verse 10, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes.
Right.
Here's someone in the state Brother Joe was describing when he referred to those in whom this world is the best they'll ever have it.
Yeah. Right.
They love this world. They enjoy the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's all they care about. And there's no fear of God before their eyes.
Right.
That describes every one of us if we had not been born of the Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
You wouldn't feel like a wretch. You would feel like you were a great individual and that you were worthy of being recognized for your greatness. You would be full of pride. You would have no sense of unworthiness. So that's the first thing I want you to understand. That if you feel like you're a wretch, that's indisputable evidence that you're a born-again child of God. Mm-hmm. And you need to understand that there are some people in this world that do not feel that way. They have no fear of God before their eyes. And that's why we are commanded not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers.
Right.
You have nothing in common with them. They will do you no good. They may do you bad. They will influence you in the wrong way. You do not need to associate with people, whether you're a teenager or an adult. You don't need to associate with people that have no fear of God.
Amen.
That is, if you don't recognize any desire in them to do what's honorable and right, then you need to stay away from
it. Amen.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
And seek the company of other people who feel to be wretched.
Right.
Now, I know that may be uncommon in the world today because even God's own children are sometimes prideful
and
don't see themselves as they ought. If you were not born again, you would be like those described in Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 2 and 3. He says, "Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others."
Amen.
Did you know that any and every elect child of God, prior to being born of the Spirit, is in nature exactly the same as a child of wrath?
That is right.
Just read the description of the Apostle Paul before his experience of being born again on the road to Damascus. He said, it says his mouth was full of cursing and bitterness. Yeah. It says he was breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. That's what he said. He was breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. And then in Romans 3, when he was describing people that were not born again, he said their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. He knew firsthand the way people behave when they had no fear of God before their eyes.
That's right.
So notice there in Ephesians 2, verses 2 and 3, that at one time you walked according to the course of this world, the prince of the power of the air, and you were by your very nature, because at that time you only had one nature. You were by nature just like a child of wrath.
That's right.
Now you may say, "Well, Brother Buddy, I feel to be unworthy. I feel to be a sinner. Sometimes I even feel wretched." But I must admit that when you talk about those who are not born of the Spirit, who still walk according to the course of this world, you may say that sometimes appeals to me.
Yeah.
And we're going to try to tell you why.
Right.
But in spite of that concern that you may have, the very fact that it is a concern is another evidence that you are born of the Spirit of God.
That's right.
If you were not born again, you would be like the description in 1 Corinthians 2:14. It says, "The natural man," the one with only one nature,
that's it.
"The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned." If you're not born again, you do not in any sense pick up on the things of the Spirit of God. You can't receive them. It says the natural man doesn't receive them, and it goes on to say neither can he know them. He doesn't have the ability to perceive or relate to in any way to the things of the Spirit of God. If you weren't born again, you'd be like it says in the second part of Ephesians 2:1, you would still be dead in trespasses and sins. Mm. Now listen, if you want to define the one doctrine that most significantly separates the primitive Baptist from everybody else, this is it. Now, I don't want to be different from everybody else. But if you believe the truth, you will be different from a lot of other people.
That's right.
See, before you were born again, you were dead. You couldn't accept Christ because you didn't receive the things of the Spirit of God. You didn't have the ability to know them. And a dead man can't do anything.
That's right.
Amen. People say, "Well, believing on Christ is not a work." Jesus said it is.
That's right.
Jesus says, when the disciples said, "We want to work the works of God," you know what he said? He said, "Believe on the name." This is the work of God, that you believe on the name of the Son of God.
Yes, sir.
Did you know that's a work? That's what Jesus says. You want to do some works? Believe on the name of our Lord. In other words, quit thinking about working your way to heaven. If you want to do a work, here's the only one you need to do. And this doesn't save you, but it'll give you peace about thinking you have to work your way to heaven. He says, here's the work of God. Believe on the name of the Lord. But let's look at Romans chapter 8, verses 8 and 9. And here you'll see not only the state that you would still be in if you weren't born again, but you'll also see the change that took place that brought you to that frame of mind that Paul detailed in Romans 7, by which he concluded in saying, "O wretched man that I am." Did you notice? He didn't say the man I was on the road to Damascus when I was breathing out threatenings and slaughters against the disciples of the Lord. He said, "O wretched man that I am." You say, why did he say that? Did the new birth fail to make any change? No, he could still say, according to Romans 7:18, that I know that in me, that is in my flesh,
yes, sir,
dwelleth no good thing. There is the potential of you still to do all manner of evil.
Right. Amen.
But thanks be to God, there's the potential in you to do all manner of righteousness.
Amen.
Oh, no wonder that we read statements in the Bible where Jesus said, "Straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." No wonder we read in Joshua where he said, "Choose ye this day whom you will serve." No wonder Jeremiah said, "Stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein and you'll find what? Rest for your soul."
Amen.
The only people that need rest are people that are alive.
Amen.
That's why Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest."
That's right.
There's people in this world that are not laboring and heavy laden.
That's right.
They love this world. But notice here in Romans 8, verses 8 and 9. Here's the conclusion to everything I've been saying about your condition if you had not been born again. He says, "So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God."
Amen.
Now, what does the Bible mean when it mentions the natural man, those that are in the flesh, the carnal man, the old man? All of those expressions are describing you as a person while yet dead in trespasses and sins.
Yes.
And that's the only drive you have. That's the only nature you have. They that are in the flesh, that is those that are not born again, cannot please God. Now, when you're born again, that does not do anything towards getting rid of that nature.
Right.
It gives you a new nature.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the enemy's still there.
Yes, sir.
You just now have something that gives you a desire and a drive to combat the enemy.
Right.
It's a fundamental Bible doctrine, and it'll have great effect on your outlook on life.
Yes, it will.
For you to understand that I have two natures. One is awful. One is corrupt. One would ruin my marriage. One would ruin my children. One would separate me from my friends. One would cause me to be violent. One would cause me to steal. One would cause me to do all manner of evil. And it's still there.
That's right. Yeah.
And it's still alive. And it can still reign. Otherwise, Paul would not have said in Romans 6, let not sin reign in your mortal bodies. You don't tell someone not to do something unless it's possible for them to do it.
That's right.
If I tell my children not to do something that they don't have the ability to do anyway, that'd be crazy, wouldn't it?
Right.
I only forbid them to do things that they have the ability and perhaps even the will to do.
Amen.
So he says, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Now notice this term. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you.
Amen.
Now, here's the turning point.
Yes, sir.
If you feel to be wretched, if you feel to be a sinner, if you feel to be unworthy, if you love God, if you pray to God, if you enjoy being with His people, if you have fellowship with others that believe the same gospel you do, that's all evidence that the Spirit of God dwells in you.
Amen.
Amen.
And notice how he continues. He says, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. See, the truth is simple, isn't it?
Amen.
Men have confused it.
That's right.
There is a clear separation from the flesh and the spirit. You know, Jesus told Nicodemus, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You can do a lot of things with the flesh, but it's still flesh. You can make the flesh religious.
Yeah.
The Pharisees were religious, but Jesus said, you're of your father the devil. You can do a lot of things with the flesh, but it'll still be flesh.
Yeah.
And still have no motive for honoring God. But he says, you're not in the flesh. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you.
Amen.
So we want to address a different aspect now. We've tried to make it clear. There's people that don't fear God because they're not born of the Spirit. There's people that do fear God. They reverence Him. They feel to be a sinner, yet they love God. They don't want to keep sinning. And those people are obviously born again. But they still have the old nature.
Yep.
Life is now a battle.
Yes,
until
that's
the
right.
day they die.
That's right.
But let's ask this question. Ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. So my question is this. How did the Spirit get inside of you?
Great question.
Here's what most people believe. And I'm not making fun of them. I have many friends that believe this. I'm not making fun of them. I'm saying this to just establish the truth. Most people believe that you must do something or the Spirit will not dwell in you.
Yes.
It could be as simple as saying you just need to pray a private, sincere prayer that the Lord would come in and save you. Now, we've already established that if you pray that prayer, it's too late to get saved. You already are. If you find anybody anywhere that's worried about being saved, the good news is they're already saved.
Yeah. Right.
There's not a person out there that feels to be like a wretched sinner that yet is dead in trespasses and sins. Isn't that wonderful? The person that's afraid they're not saved is the one with the greatest evidence they are saved.
Yeah. Right. Amen. Right.
I'm so glad I understand that.
Amen.
Because there are people that don't believe that way. There are people that believe unless you know that you know without a doubt where you're going, then you're not saved. And that is not comforting when they say the way to get saved is to do this or to do that. I used to attend church once in a while with my friends at a denomination that believed you had to do something to get saved. And I would go there sometime on Sunday night, and every time at the end of the service when they would give the opportunity for people to accept Christ and get saved, I wouldn't go up there, but every Sunday night it was the same thing. I would pray and say, "Lord, if I'm not saved, please save me." Because I always wondered, was I sincere enough? Did I really mean it? I never felt confident. Now, Primitive Baptist, we don't feel comfortable saying, "I know that I'm saved," but that doesn't mean we're in doubt of it.
Right. Amen.
We feel comfortable saying what Paul said, that "I am in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began."
Right.
Now, if you say, "Well, Brother Buddy, I feel okay saying I know I'm saved because I believe in what Christ did," I'm not going to fault you for that. But personally, I'm more comfortable saying it the way Paul did, because that takes away any sense of self-confidence.
Right. Amen.
Right. And you know what hope is? It is an anchor for soul.
Right. It is.
Both sure and steadfast. That sounds a little stronger to me than saying, "I know I'm going to heaven."
Right.
I'd rather say, "I've got a hope and it's an anchor for my soul.
Amen.
Both sure and steadfast, and entereth into that which is in the veil."
That's right.
I tell you, that's confidence, isn't it?
Amen.
And the reason we have confidence, you say, "How can I feel like a wretched sinner, unworthy of heaven, and yet I got confidence I'm going to heaven?" It's because
Amen.
The gospel says Jesus saved His people from
Amen.
Their sin.
Amen. That's
it
right.
is that simple,
Amen.
And that's what God's children need to know. That's what revived them in years gone by,
that's
when
right.
men like Elder Wilson Thompson would preach and people would fall out mourning and crying, and they weren't putting on a show. They felt condemned, like they were on their way to hell, but He declared the simple gospel that Jesus bare their sorrows and saved them from the wrath to come.
Amen.
That made them want to join the church. That made them want to say, "I believe Jesus died for me, and I want to stand before the church and be baptized professing who I believe my Savior is."
Amen.
See, that's grounds for revival.
Yes, sir. That's right.
When God's children come to see that, having struggled under the bondage of their sin. So how did the Spirit get inside of you? One of the simplest statements is Ephesians 2:1. "You hath He quickened."
Amen.
Okay, what did you do? Let's put that sentence on the chalkboard. You. There's you. What did you do? Nothing.
Amen.
You. You're the object of the verb.
That's right.
That's right.
You could construct the sentence this way, and it'd be saying the same thing. God hath quickened you. You're the object of the action. You're the recipient of the action. God did all the action. He quickened, that just means made alive, you, while you were yet dead in trespasses and sin. Jesus said it this way. Here's how the Spirit got inside of you. In John 3:8, He says, "The wind bloweth where it listeth." That means where it pleases.
Right.
"And thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell from whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit of God." Now, Jesus didn't say, "This is how it works for people that are 12 and older."
No.
He didn't say this is how it works for people that don't have the mental capability to comprehend it.
Right.
He didn't say this is how it works for people that are in countries where the gospel has never been preached. You know what he says? He's saying every person that ever has been born of the Spirit was born again the exact same way.
Yes, sir.
Isn't that great?
Amen. Preach it, brother.
That the reason I'm alive is because God made me alive.
Amen.
The reason you're alive is because God made you alive. He may have quickened you when you were in the womb like John the Baptist. He may have quickened you when you're nursing upon your mother as an infant child. He may have quickened you. He may have quickened some man who was on death row, and when he was in the electric chair before they applied the juice, he may have quickened him there, just like he did the thief on the cross.
Amen.
He can quicken everyone in every country where the gospel has never been preached.
Yes, sir.
He did and has quickened all of his children in the Old Testament, because it says when Jesus died on the cross, he died for the remission of sins that are past. I tell you, because of the everlasting covenant of God, which was ordered in all things and sure before the world began, God could put full confidence and rely upon the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ to redeem men like Noah and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all those that live hundreds of years before Jesus even came into the world, because that redemption went both ways.
Amen. Right.
Backwards and forwards.
Amen.
It embraced them and embraced you 2,000 years later.
Amen.
You hath he quickened who were dead. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof. Canst not tell from whence it cometh or whither it goeth, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit.
Right.
And then look at the result. We've looked at the reason you feel like a wretch. We've looked at the pitiful state you would be in if God had not quickened you and caused you to feel like you were a wretch. We've looked at how that spirit that dwells in you got there. And now, let's look at how it affects you. And we'll conclude with this, and if the Lord so guides, we'll continue with this afternoon. I've never been one that gives, I generally don't come up with a title for my sermon until after I preach it. So if Brother Paul's going to put a title on this, I would title it The Cause and Effects of the New Birth. But let's look at this effect. And this is why you feel like a wretch. This is why it bothers you when you sin. In Hebrews chapter 8, verses 10 through 12. Now this is quoted from Jeremiah. Hebrews 8:10, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. This is speaking of the gospel dispensation in which we live, in which the house of Israel is not only pertaining to the descendants of Abraham, who were God's chosen people to especially bless in the Old Testament, but this is pertaining to all of God's elect out of every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue under heaven, who are the spiritual Israel of God. Those to whom Paul said, he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly. That is, one of those in whom the Spirit of God dwells. He is a Jew which is one inwardly. Inwardly, and circumcision is in the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter.
Right.
Whose praise is not of men, but of God. Notice this. Hebrews 8:10, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people."
Amen.
Now, these can be individuals that have never read the Bible.
Right.
Never heard the principles of God's Word expounded. And I'll prove that to you in just a minute.
Right.
But the Lord says, "I'll put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people, and they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest." Mm-hmm. Now the point here is you can't teach somebody to know God.
Amen.
You can teach them more about God.
Amen.
You can teach them to know more about God. And when He puts His laws in your heart and in your mind, that means He has given you a sense of right and wrong.
Yes.
And here's what He's talking about. Look at Romans chapter 2 and verse 14. And you'll still experience this today. If you go to a country where the gospel has never been preached, where the Bible has never been read, you'll find some people like this. He says in Romans 2:14, "For when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature..." Wait a minute, how can you do these things by nature? He says they do by nature the things contained in the law. "These having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts."
Right.
Now, if they haven't been born again, they're not going to do by nature the things contained in the law. They only have that one nature. They're dead in trespasses and sins, and they have no desire for the things of God.
Right.
But the nature under consideration here is the spiritual nature.
Yes, sir.
He says they're a law unto themselves. They show the work of the law written in their hearts. Listen to this now.
Right.
"Their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another."
That's right.
You go to a culture where the Bible's never been introduced, the gospel has never been preached, the only knowledge they've had is what they've come up with in their mind, so to speak, but you'll find them having a standard of right and wrong.
Yep.
Right.
Because the work of the law is written in their hearts.
Amen.
Yep.
If you feel any sense about the things of God, whether it's feeling condemned, whether it's feeling like a wretch, or whether you can say, "You know, when we sang at church today, I felt happy. When I heard the preaching, I said, preacher, that describes me." If you have any of those experiences, that's all evidence.
Amen.
That you have been born again.
Amen.
Amen.